Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to the Minnesota Oi How Live meeting. My name is Peg. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm your leader for this meeting. Thank you. This is a meeting conceived to bring an added dimension of realism to our remote OA community. We want to again emphasize to everyone that the link, login, and instructions that you received to participate on this meeting are not to be published anywhere, but only to be shared with those directly interested. Our goal is to share the power of recovery via a meeting that is safe and by its nature very visual. We want to welcome all those here and virtually. You may reference our webcast guide for detailed instructions and information. If you would like to participate in the meeting, either by video or by phone, before the meeting begins, please use the Sign Up Genius link called Volunteer to Participate Virtually on our website, mnhowlive.org. That's minhowlive.org. On the same webpage, you will find a link to our meeting readings and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or tool or participate in any other way in the meeting's live chat. We do this in advance so that we can keep the meeting flowing smoothly. If you need technical help, there will be multiple coaching sessions Thursday evenings from 5:30 to 9 o'clock p.m. Central Time on this same meeting. If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to minhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at minhowlive.org to download the files. We ask that if you do need to eat during this meeting, please eat quietly in the back of the room. For those in person, please take a moment to silence or turn off your cell phones and do not connect to the room's Wi-Fi. I think I'll join in that endeavor. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation. And for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. I assume that I'm not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive overeaters at this meeting other than myself? A crowd, a veritable crowd. The We Care folder will be circulating in the room for the duration of the meeting. The first time for you to list your name, telephone number, and email, and the rest for you to take names and phone numbers to call during the week. If you are joining us remotely, please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the HOW format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What is How?
I am Sheila, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sheila.
What is How? How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive eating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did How begin? How began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne Anonymous's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in house sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide.
Thanks, Sheila. Would someone please read the only requirement?
I'm available. My camera's not working.
Okay, well, we'll listen to your voice gladly.
My video will not turn on, so. There I am. All right, so hi, this is Michelle. See, I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Paige. The only requirement, Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found to be effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the how concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at the OA meetings anytime, anywhere. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We have Overeaters Anonymous welcome all with open arms. And with that, I pass.
Would someone please read the how concept?
Hi, I'm Brenna, compulsive overeater and bulimic.
Hi, Brenna.
Thanks. The how concept. The Overeaters Anonymous how meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of program and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the H-O-W of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us. And that the HOW or how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun, through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive eating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifest in this room. Amen.
Thanks, Brenna. Would someone please read Reflections for the Newcomer?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara.
Hi, Tamara.
Hello, hello. Well, you get to see a lot of my wall behind me, but reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you've decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a discipline program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If a newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. From the doctor's opinion in the big book, page 26, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees to continue his or her own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he or she does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. That's from The Family Afterwards, Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. Pass.
Thanks. Thanks, Tamara. Would someone please read an excerpt from the step 2 of the OA 12 and 12? Here we are.
Hi, can anyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, I'm Bridget, a compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while that we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder and harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery.
I think there might be a little bit more to that reading, Bridget. Is there a little more to the reading? Bridget, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Sorry,
I think there's a little bit more to the reading.
Ah. Okay, well, I guess I don't have that part printed out.
Okay, no problem.
Let me see if I can try to find it on the...
You know, someone else will just finish it up right here.
Okay.
No problem. We won't make you go searching. I think we can let it. Did you find it or not? We can let it go. It just kind of concludes to say that we admitted we were insane after all. It's basically the message. Okay. Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, how it works? Thank you, Bridget. Okay. Rebecca, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Rebecca B. in Ohio, chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to the simple program. Usually there are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start, nil until we let go absolutely. Remember, we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Thanks.
Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hi, this is Kelly from Pennsylvania, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kelly. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order, I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is, we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Pass. Thank you.
Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Can you hear me? This is Bonnie J.
Yes, Bonnie, we can.
Oh, great. Thank you. This is my first time, so I'm having some technical difficulties. And I don't have the reading here, so I'm going to read them out of the big book, okay?
Sure.
Okay, the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on AA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for AA membership is the desire to stop eating. Again, I'm reading this out of the big book. 4, each group should be autonomous except for matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers, to the overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should always remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, OA has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks. And can I also just say, can you still hear me?
Yes.
I signed up for the tool, plan of eating, but I am unable to access. I don't have the document, so I won't be able to do that tool.
Okay. Thanks for letting us know that. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Given. We can read it and you can pitch on it if you choose.
Sure.
Okay. Great. Perfect. Thank you. All right. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used. So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that house sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper? Virtual participants receive timing prompts via chat. Abstinence, plan of eating.
Good evening, I am Mary G.
Hi, Mary.
A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food, the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. 1, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. 2, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. 3, we weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and a scale. Take it away, Bonnie.
I don't have the kit here with me, so I'm not sure how I should do this.
Do I have a kit? Go ahead.
I got a kit. You talk and I'll show.
Okay, so we'll start with the scales. Which scale do you have there? That is a spring-loaded scale. Yep. It has a dial in the front that will measure in ounces usually, and also in grams as well. So it's spring-loaded, you calibrate it in the back, make sure that the line is on the zero, and then use the little basket or cup to weigh whatever food you're measuring, be it protein or whatever you're going to eat. You put it in there until the little dial reaches the number that is what you are to have, what has been prescribed, some people say, by your nutritionist or doctor. And then you put it on your plate, measure your next thing. And that's how you do it. Another type of scale that we use is a digital scale. That's, it's electronic, it's battery operated. Got to make sure that the batteries are fresh and working. You put your food, your plate on it, zero everything out, put your food item on it until it measures the correct measurement for you. Zero it again, put your next food item on it, and so on and so forth until you have all of the food you are supposed to eat measured. The next item are cups. Do you have some measuring cups there? I use all of these, by the way. So measuring cups and spoons, you put your food item in there, use a straight edge to level off the top, just like that. And then put that food on your plate and continue to measure. We'll go to the spoons next. So spoons, measuring spoons, you put whatever food item you're measuring in that, make it plenty so that you can level off the top, a level teaspoon, and then put that item onto your plate and continue on. And then there's a liquid measuring cup. For liquids, obviously, milk, whatever you're going to measure. Use those to measure liquids and drink it up. And the last thing in our abstinence kit is our telephone. We use our telephone throughout the day. Typically, we start our day by calling our sponsor and committing our food to that person. And then if something changes during the day, we call our sponsor again to make any food changes that are necessary, our sponsor or another sponsor, to make any necessary food changes to stay within our plan and stay abstinent.
Okay. We weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight, and once a week on maintenance. 5. Unless advised otherwise by a doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. 6, we do not drink alcohol. 7, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed 5th or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HAL program. It is not the extra string bean that counts, it is the decision to take it. Back to Bonnie.
Thank you so much. So for me, this food plan, weighing and measuring food was always, it was easy for me when I started OAHOW back in 2007. It wasn't intimidating because I was used to that. Back in my earlier days as a gym rat, we did that. We weighed and measured our food. So, and as, being a mom, raising a newborn, taking care of a newborn, I weighed and measured every single little thing, every single little drop that went into my baby's belly. So weighing and measuring food didn't seem odd or didn't seem strange to me. And following a food program wasn't, because I'd done that already. So, but what was different for me was committing it, promising somebody else that this is, this is all I'm going to eat. And for somebody like me, I am going to eat all of this, because there were lots of days when I didn't eat anything. So having all of that together as a food plan and a promise is what was very challenging for me. It was one thing to have a plan and to tell myself, you know, oh, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to eat. But to pick up that phone and commit it, like giving my word to it, was something new and something different for me. And in those first year or two, man, I had so many slips, because it was hard for me, like I said, to commit it and to promise and to keep my promise, not to my sponsor, but the promise to myself. But eventually that worked out, and here I am, alive and healthy and sane. And, you know, as a, I want to say as a testament, but that's not really the word I'm looking for, that this program works. This food plan, food program, we get from our doctor or nutritionist, and it's what saved my sanity and my life. So it works. If you're here with us for the first time and you're new to this, don't let any of this intimidate you. It's easy. It's easy to use, easy to figure out, and keep coming back.
Sponsorship.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
My name is Melanie C. I recover.
Hi, Melanie.
Hi, everyone. Sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels: physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books, who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string being that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. This kind of tells us in a general way what sponsors are about, but I do want to tell you it's a great thing. HOW does it very, very, very well. I didn't have to know much when at 70 days it was highly suggested that I become a sponsor too. So afraid that I couldn't do it because I had a sponsor. and that sponsor had a sponsor. And since then, I've had sponsees and grand sponsees and great grand sponsees. That's what How does best. We cocoon ourselves in the support with one another. I call it my trilogy triage. I admitted to God, to myself, and to another compulsive overeater, my sponsor, the exact nature of my wrongs. And with that, then I don't have to do any of this sort of thing alone. And I'm so, so grateful for that. The idea that I was going to be sponsoring at 70 days was an interesting thing. I was so used to doing things by myself, I was going to jump headlong into this thing. And I did a bit, and I don't recommend that. But I soon learned that with that support from my sponsor, things went much more smoothly, and I scared fewer sponsees away with being probably too direct and too harsh with them. Somebody said in these rooms a long, long time ago, which is something that I love. The idea when I came in here, I didn't know what to do and where to go and what was the norm there. And I spent too much time trying to figure this whole thing out. What they suggested was that I just find a sponsor, because they'll teach me all the rest. They will teach me all the rest. I won't have to sit down, worry about, think about, contemplate any of these kinds of things. And what the other thing is so awesome about a face-to-face meeting, although it will happen in here as well, is that those folks in a face-to-face meeting, from my own experience, we know who's new in the room. And we come to you. We come to you with experience, strength, hope, and promise as an available sponsor to get you started and get you on your feet. You don't have to worry about that or flounder in anything if you're ready and you want to have what it is that we've gotten in these rooms. And with that, I want to say just one more thing. I want to read a bit. I'd like to try to find something from the big book that talks about sort of like a sponsor thing. It's a little bit tough to find, but with that, I'd like to read for you something from page 180 in the big book. And it says, the question might naturally come into your mind would be, what did the man do or say that was different from what others had done or said? It must be remembered that I had done a great deal of reading and talked to everyone who knew or thought that they knew anything about the subject of alcoholism. But this was a man who had experienced many years of frightful drinking, who had most all the drunkard's experiences known to man, who had been cured by the very means that I'd been trying to employ. This is to say, a spiritual approach. He gave me information about the subject of alcoholism, which is undoubtedly helpful. Of far more importance was the fact that he was the first living human with whom I had ever talked who knew what he was talking about in regard to alcoholism from actual experience. In other words, he talked my language. He knew all the answers, and certainly not because he had picked them up from something he had read. He had experienced that. That's what a sponsor does for me. I have a sponsor. I call one every single day. That's what we do here in these rooms. And I'm grateful to be a sponsor and have had the pleasure of sponsors pouring into my life to have the quality of recovery that I have today. Didn't do it alone. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thanks, Melanie. Well, all sponsors, How and OA, please join me in sharing the following. How long in OA and how? How long abstinent in OA or how? How much weight lost or gained? This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Please form a line standing at the microphone and continue behind me. Remote sponsors are invited to share following our line by clicking the raise hand button and turning on your video camera, or just turning on your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and see you are unmuted by host screen prompt. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. Sponsors joining us on the phone, please wait for a pause in the line and press *6 on your telephone keypad.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor in the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 33 years. I have 18 and a half years of abstinence in OA How. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Good evening, I'm Mary G., compulsive overeater. I came to OA in Western Massachusetts in the spring of 2004. We moved to the St. Paul area in October 2012. My first meeting was on Halloween. Became absent the next day, and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater. I came directly to How in May of 2015. My abstinence date's May 19th of 2015, and I've been relieved of over 90 pounds.
Hi, my name is Carrie, and I have 120 days in the program. I started on September 21st of last year. I have been relieved of 25 pounds in the HOW program and 35 from my top weight. And I do have an opening for early morning sponsee. And my phone number is 320-267-5159.
Hello, everyone. I'm Nancy D., compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of HOW in September of 2017 and became abstinent. And my recommitment date is March of 2019, March 27th, and I have been relieved of 89 pounds.
Hi, everyone. My name is Peg. I'm a compulsive overeater. I first came into the rooms of OA in 1979. I came into the rooms of HOW in 2004, lost 160 pounds, the conviction that I could do it on my own. I've returned as of June 3rd of 2019, and in my return, I've lost 29 pounds.
Megan.
Hey, all. This is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away 85-ish pounds since coming back into program from a relapse. I've also had an abstinent pregnancy. This is Megan in Virginia. Yes.
Revitel.
Hi there. I am a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revi Tal, coming in from Toronto. I walked into the OA rooms in 2004, struggled with abstinence for a good 13 years, was introduced into the two-hour OA HOW rooms on May 23rd of 2017, where I became abstinent and continue to remain abstinent by the grace of God and the power of this program. And my body has released over 100 pounds. Grateful to be here tonight. Thank you.
Liz.
Hi, everyone. I'm Liz A., grateful compulsive overeater and food addict in Ormond Beach, Florida. I joined OA in 1982 and started working the HOW format in 2018. I am a sponsor in the two-hour HOW format. My abstinence date is 8/8/2019. I've released 58 pounds, 35 of those in HOW. Liz A., thanks.
Heidi.
Hi, my name is Heidi C., and I'm a compulsive overeater. I came directly into HOW in October 2007. I lost 150 pounds and kept it off for almost 7 years, and then I chose to leave the program. And I returned a few years later, 110 pounds heavier, and I'm recommitted as of July 29th, 2019, and I'm down 67 pounds. Thank you.
Rebecca.
Hi, everyone. My name is Rebecca B. I'm in Ohio, a compulsive overeater and a sponsor in the two-hour OA HOW meeting format. And I've started regular OA September 2014. And after 2 years, lost 110 pounds, relapsed, gained 70 for another 2 years, and came into HOW in February of 2019. Since then, I've lost 50 pounds, I think. Not much far to go to gold weight. And my back-to-back abstinence date is November 14th of 2019. I'll pass.
Melanie.
Hi, everyone. My name is Melanie. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon and two-hour OA House sponsor. I was first introduced to Overeaters Anonymous in 1989 and couldn't and didn't find my way until I found HOW in the fall of 2005. I have had squeaky clean abstinence since November 5th, 2005. Grateful for that. I have a HOW anniversary date of November 5, 2018. Maintaining over 165 pound weight loss for about 13 and a half of those years. Melanie from Oregon. Thanks.
Deborah.
Hi. Can I be heard? Yes. Yep. Hi, I'm Deborah. I'm gratefully recovering from the Kansas City area. My back-to-back abstinence date is August 23rd, 2015, and I am down over 20 pounds from my top weight. This is Deborah from Axie, Missouri.
Leslie.
Hey, I'm Leslie W. from Tennessee. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and a 2-hour OA house sponsor. My back-to-back how abstinence date is December the 8th, 2017. And I've lost a total of 65 pounds in this program. The last 25 of those have been in OA How, and I pass. Thanks.
Second, Nancy.
Hi, excuse me. This is Nancy P. from Minnesota, and I have been in OA House since April of 2016, and I'm down 70 pounds with some incredible sanity and the miracle of no food compulsions. And I'm a sponsor, and I think that's it. Thank you.
Tamara.
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came into traditional OA in January of 2016, heard about the HOW program, became abstinent April 3rd of 2017. Because of the miracles of this program, I've been relieved of 97 pounds from my top weight, and I have lost 75 pounds in the HOW program. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019, and I do have an opening for a sponsee. My telephone number is 218-461-6821. That is Tamara in Minnesota. Thank you very much.
Jane?
Hi, I'm Jane, compulsive overeater in British Columbia, Canada. I joined OA in September 2011. I came into HOW September 19th, 2019. I had 2 years of abstinence in OA, and in HOW, I've been abstinent since the day I joined, which was 4 months ago, and I've lost 12 pounds, and I am a sponsor. Thank you.
Kelly F.
Hi, Kelly F., a compulsive overeater in California, and I came to OA HOW in October of 2018. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 27, 2019. I've lost between 70 and 80 pounds, and I'm an OA HOW sponsor. Pass.
Kelly G.
Hey, can you guys see me?
Yep.
I just see Kelly F. This is Kelly S, actually. Kelly S, recovered compulsive overeater, working a 2-hour HOW format, came into OA in 1982, came into the 2-hour HOW program, and have been abstinent since March 14th of 2015, maintaining 125 pound weight loss in OA in the last 90 of those in HOW, and I pass. Thanks.
Is there anyone else? Anyone else? No? Okay. Clay feet. We should remember that always have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we've been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Anonymity.
Hey all, this is Megan in Virginia, and this is Anonymity. Hey. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or our last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated, if we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is a part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and to share, for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without the fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at the moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery. Recovery on a threefold level: physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. Here, here. So I am really grateful for the tool of anonymity. In my face-to-face life, I'm probably what people would refer to as a private person or a reserved person. I don't share deep things easily. You know, I tend to be friendly with people, but I keep it on the surface. That's just where I'm comfortable with most folks. But because of the tool of anonymity in this program, I can share my deepest fears, regrets, struggles with the people on the other end of the phone line. If I'm just having a bad day or I'm having a case of, you know, self-pity or whatever, I can share that with the people on those phone calls. And some of the folks on these phone calls I've been talking to for 10 years now. So we know each other really well. And we've walked through major life events with each other. And we give each other the type of support that isn't easily found in the world because of anonymity. I know in my life, I know folks who offer support, but also offer a lot of advice or what you should do. You know that when you share something with them, the likelihood, especially a lot of times within family, if you say something to one, it's going to make the rounds, and that might not be something you're comfortable with. That doesn't happen in this program. It goes nowhere. And it also allows me a really safe place. If I am concerned that what I'm sharing could be hurtful to a close family member or somebody who is in an intimate relationship with me, I can share on the phone with somebody who's three states away. I never risk there being an intermingling of those people, and I can leave it there and be able to move forward in my life, which is a miracle. It's so, so helpful to be able to keep, to just keep from making a bigger mess around myself. So I'm very grateful for the tool of anonymity, and thank you for letting me share the class.
Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
Telephone calls.
Hello. This is Nancy P. from Minnesota, and I am, talking about the tool of the telephone. So when I first started in OAHOW doing three, oh, yes. When I first started in OAHOW, doing the telephone calls was a really huge challenge for me. I didn't know anybody, and all that we had at the time was just the list. And so I would go down the list and call a ton of people and get kind of disheartened because I didn't always get anyone to answer. But the persistence paid off because the people that answered and talked to me became really good friends and really good supporters of my program. And I'm so excited now to have the addition of the WhatsApp and the Telegram, because that initial struggle with trying to develop a community is really non-existent now with those extra tools. So I feel like with the telephone tool and also the anonymity, it gives me the freedom that I can actually really talk to somebody and really be very honest. And I know that they're going to be honest back with me, and they're going to give me their honest feedback. And I feel like it's so grounding. I remember when I first started in program and I was on a vacation, and I was in a grocery store, and I was kind of melting down, and I felt really vulnerable and all alone because I was in an area that I didn't have any supporters, any family or friends, just the one person that I was with, and I was kind of struggling with her at the time regarding our food and what we were going to purchase for the week. I had the telephone there that I could call a person, another fellow, and she actually completely helped, totally unwrap. It helped me go from being completely unraveled to being back together. She helped me make a plan. She helped me figure out, okay, what I needed to buy, what I needed to do, and how to make this work. And had I not had the tool of the telephone, and that was so early in my program, I know I would not have continued. I would have just given up. But the telephone really is another way of giving us such huge support, and at any time and any place. I mean, if you wake up at 2 a.m. and you're just like kind of panicky, you know that you have people that you can call from all over the country. And it's just, there's just such a good feeling of knowing that we have this huge community of people that genuinely understand. We know our common weaknesses, and it's just such a support. I'm very, without the telephone, I don't know how OAHOW would even be able to be nearly this strong. So I'm very grateful for this program. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Nancy. Nancy, do you happen to have the tool reading in front of you or not?
I do.
Well, do you just want to briefly read that for us? Thank you.
Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard to handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors and, as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Meetings.
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sheila.
Meetings. Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. I know I've heard many times that the meetings are for the newcomer, which is really true, because I think we all started out as newcomers, and probably most of us started by coming to a meeting. And it was where we heard about the program, we heard and saw recovery, just kind of heard all of that experience, strength, and hope from all of the other members. I also believe the meetings, for me anyways, are also for me who are not a newcomer, because I get to share my experience, strength, and hope. And by me sharing maybe where I have been, it is a reminder for me that that isn't where I want to be or go again. So I kind of look at meetings as, you know, coming to this weekly meeting, it says right in here that as HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. It's where I get to come to get filled up and to kind of get filled up for kind of the coming week. I know last week I wasn't able to be at this meeting, and so I attended a meeting later in the week. And so it had been actually more than 7 days since I had been to a meeting. And by the time I went to that meeting at the end of last week, I was really ready for a meeting, because I was really running on empty from meetings. I do just want to read a little something. It's from one of our daily readers, Voices of Recovery. It's the December 8th reading. So it says, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Then it goes on to say, I get so much comfort from this. I have the desire because I showed up at that very first meeting. Isn't that true? That is actually the hardest thing for me that I've ever done, is showing up at that first meeting. That was the hardest thing in this program. Thank you. I have kept coming back, abstinent or in relapse, because OA is the only thing that has worked for me. I have a living problem, and no diet has ever taught me how to cope with life. Food, people, or material things can always fail me. The only real thing I can count on is my higher power to see me through whatever today may bring. Some days I have to act as if. I must act as if I have the desire to not eat compulsively, and act as if I believe that my higher power is there for me. If I take this action, my higher power takes care of my needs. The obsession is lifted and abstinence comes. So for today, I will not give up. I will just keep trying, with my higher power helping me along the way. I will become a much happier person with my life held in my higher power's loving embrace. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Sheila. Literature and writing.
Hi, Kelly, compulsive overeater in California.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, guys. Literature and writing. Literature. We studied the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, For Today, For Daily Meditation, and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to our writing, our inventories and lists of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is not often revealed to us simply by thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. Sorry about that. Am I still here? Okay. So, literature and writing. So I've shared, before that when I was in, regular OA, I took it upon myself to get the Little Four Today book and every day just read what the reading was for that day and do some writing on it. And that worked on Monday cause that's when my diet was starting, and it worked on Tuesday. But then I didn't do it Wednesday. And so I said I'd play catch up on Thursday. And before I knew it, it was Sunday. And, you know, a week passed, 2 weeks passed. And now I'm not even doing the assignment anymore. And I've given up. It reminded me how I work the tools today. Each of the tools I used to work in OA were just grandiose and then non-existent. So I'm so grateful for the tool of literature today and writing. I take my big book with me. I have several versions of it. I love the large print, first 164 pages of that, and the writing. So now I no longer have to play catch up. I have an assignment that's due every day. I call my sponsor on time with my reading and writing done, and it has become this indispensable tool of my recovery. When I'm struggling, my fellows recommend I put paper to pen and just let God flow through me and see what comes of that. A lot of times, I could talk a good talk, but when I get still and quiet and ask God to help me see maybe a side of this I'm not seeing, that's where I get some real relief and recovery. So with the literature and the writing, I've come to grow up in this program and learn how to be responsible to completing an assignment. Every time I read the big book, I'm just amazed at the beautiful words that are written in there. And I know we've all said this, but we wonder when they rewrote that book, because that wasn't in there last time I wrote it. So super grateful I work off of a textbook that hasn't changed in decades and has transformed thousands and thousands of people's lives. I don't have to be joining Weight Watchers today or keto or paleo. I just know I'm following the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's saving my life. One day at a time. So thanks for letting me share a path.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Service.
All right. Hi, everybody. It's Revi Tal coming in from Toronto. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hi.
Hey, good to be here. Okay. Let me just scroll down in the readings here. Service. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole, all ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can, quote, a life of sane and happy usefulness, end quote, is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. And I love that word responsible, response-able. I am powerless, but with working the program, I am empowered. There's something beyond me that goes on here and I get to partake in it. And really the gist of it is, how do we keep this going? How do we keep the synergy alive?
if I am overwhelmed and I can't do something that somebody who's doing, you know, 25 years worth of abstinence and has a lot of evolved recovery, what they can do, you know, that may be a different form of service than what I can do. Maybe I can make a call and say, how you doing today? Maybe I can put away the chairs just to help, you know, close off the meeting at the end of the night because others have worked so hard to put it together. Whatever it takes to keep the miracle going, to keep the message going, because for me, and I don't speak on behalf of OA, but for me, this message is like a paradox. It's powerful, and yet it's so vulnerable. It's up to us to do what we can to keep it going in whatever way, whatever is our calling, whatever is my calling, just keep it going because there's a lot of synergy. There's beautiful miracles that are happening every single day. And I'm just really grateful that I found them in the 2-hour OA house room. Thanks for making the magic happen tonight. Thank you to all of you in Minnesota.
Hey, thank you. Right. Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service? If you if you have not yet added your information to the chat for our We Care book, please take a moment to do so now so we can add it to the book here in the room. We will keep the We Care book circulated until everyone has had an opportunity to sign it. The folder will continue to circulate for the duration of the meeting so that everyone may take names and phone numbers for their personal contacts. Enter your email in the chat to receive the list. Is there anyone who has not yet signed the book? Looking good. The Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place and we want to get to know each other. If you are here with us today for the first time in the meeting room, will you please stand and introduce yourself by first name only? All right. Not tonight. Okay. This is your first time here, Brenna.
I'm Brenna, compulsive overeater. This is not my first time at this meeting, but it's my first time in the physical rooms at the meeting.
All right, Brenna, welcome. If you are attending for the first time virtually, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press *6 on your telephone's keypad.
Hi. Can you see me?
Yeah.
This is Wendy Elstead, or Wendy E., and I'm a compulsive overeater coming from Wisconsin. And I just wanted to thank you for being here tonight for me. It's my first meeting back with OA How from many years ago. I struggled with anorexia and bulimia from 18 to 20. And since then have suffered with binge eating disorder. I'm truly, truly searching for recovery. It's a struggling disease. It's life-threatening. So just thank you to everybody. And thank you to Howard for helping me. And thank you, everybody.
Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you.
Anyone else? That's you. That's you behind that arm. Okay. May we please have a treasurer's report? There she is.
Unmute yourself, Heidi.
Heidi, unmute yourself. Thank you. Okay.
I'm not muted on my phone.
Okay. You're good now.
Okay. Still Heidi, still compulsive overeater, recovering. And treasurer for this meeting, our current balance is $901.51. Of that, $500 needs to remain as a low balance. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, make it accessible to individuals who are deaf or anyone using ASL, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. A basket will be passed for those here in the room and those joining virtually. You may go to minhowlive.org to donate. That's MNHOW Live, MNHOWLIVE.org to donate. Okay. I'm going to read the promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. That's from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, pages 83 and 84. Are there any announcements here in the room or virtually?
Hi, I'm Sheila, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sheila.
First of all, I just wanted to remind you of some upcoming events taking place here in Minnesota, kind of sponsored by Unity Intergroup. The first is a Tools of the Trade or Abstinence in Action workshop, which is this Saturday, January 25th. Then in March, it's March 7th and March 21st, there is a Quick Steps workshop taking place in Minneapolis. And then the Buffalo Retreat is in April, it's the first weekend in April, April 3rd to April 5th. And then at the end of May, May 29th to the 31st is the Big Book Study. You can find details on each of these events on the Unity Intergroup website, which is overeaters.org. And then I also wanted to mention about a week and a half ago, our Unity Intergroup had elections for the board for the coming year. And at this point, we only have a chairperson and a treasurer. So there are openings for a vice chair and a secretary, as well as some other trusted servant positions. So anyone who is local or here in Minnesota and is interested in being of service at the intergroup level, let me know and I can kind of get you hooked in or get you connected that way. And then also another service opportunity is we always have openings for needing leaders and speakers for this meeting. So for those of you that are sponsors and are maybe more local and haven't led the meeting recently, love to get you signed up to lead one of our meetings. If you are a sponsor and haven't spoken at this meeting for a while, again, we'd also like to get you signed up. But even sponsors, I even just encourage you to think about your sponsees that may be sponsors that maybe haven't led or spoke at the meeting recently. Maybe you can encourage them to be of service as well. And if you're interested or available for any of those service opportunities, you can feel free to reach out to Megan or Mary G or myself, and we'll get you all signed up. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Sheila. Are there any other announcements? Sensing none. Literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroup's resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. That's no spaces, oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It's now time for medallions. At HOW meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. all other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone joining us virtually may also request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. All right. These are our medallions because we love to celebrate. We don't just like to celebrate because someone's got an anniversary or two or three months. The biggest reason we celebrate an anniversary is to give experience, strength, and hope to people who are still suffering. When I first walked into this program, the idea of having 2 days of back-to-back abstinence seemed like an absolute total impossibility. But I saw people in the front of that room picking up medallions for 5 years and 6 years and 11 years and 14 years and 2 months, and it changed my life. So with that, is there anyone here tonight who's celebrating 9 or more years of back-to-back? Not tonight? Okay, how about 8, 7, 6, or 5 years? 4, 3, 2 years? 18 months? 9 months? 6 months? 3 months? 2 months? Whoops. Did I give you 3 months?
4 months. I wasn't sure if you guys did every month.
What we do from three on down. How many do you have? Sorry, Jane.
I have
how many?
Four.
You have four. Yay! We go from six to three. So just you only have 2 months.
Congratulations.
Jane.
Okay, well,
hang on to that three as though your life depended on it. Okay. Congratulations on four, though.
Thank you.
Okay. How about 2 months? 1 month, 30 days. Whew, best 30 days I ever lived.
Hi.
Hey, Kelly. All right.
My name is Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater from outside of Philadelphia. And today I have 30 days working the How To Out program. Thank you.
Should you wish it, this medallion's coming your way.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you.
Okay, great. We've got envelopes to send it, so just make sure we've got your address, Kelly.
I will. Thank you so much, right. And thank you, everyone, for all the support.
You bet. Here comes the most important medallion of all. Whether you're here virtually or in the room, this is the longest walk we take. It's the one to the front of the room to say. I did say 30, didn't I? Did I say 30? I'm sorry. Is there someone with 30? Yeah, we just gave 30. We just gave it off. Was there a second person? Oops. Oh, Michelle, I see your hand up. Are you going to turn on your video?
Hi.
There she is. Hi. 30 days.
It's not 30. No, no, it's not 30.
Okay.
I put my hand up too early. I'm looking for that. I have eight back-to-back days of abstinence, so I'll go for the
24-hour? The data time chip. All right. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're going to be abstinent for 24 hours. It doesn't mean you've been abstinent for 24 hours. What it means is you have a desire to stop eating compulsively. So with that, is there anyone besides Michelle who would like this? And Michelle will get this to you.
Mm-hmm. Are you done talking?
Yeah. Yeah.
A virtual hug to you, Michelle. You get live ones in the room. All right. Anyone else for 24 hours? All right. Great. We're here. We send them in the mail. We do whatever we can to support that, celebrate with you. Step ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles. Wendy does? Okay.
Hi. Can you see me? Hello?
No, I just.
Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Oh, let's see. Is it there?
No, I still see Michelle. Ah, here she comes. Oh.
Is it there? Can you see me?
Here you come. Whoop. There she is. All right.
I was just wondering if I could possibly have you know, I've had 2 days of, you know, without a sponsor from talking to Sheila on Saturday and then speaking to Howard last night. So it's like even 2 days, you know, with just clean eating and reading my voice recovery, and I've got my four today from years ago. So I just would like a coin sent to me and just to start fresh.
Yeah. Here it's coming. It's coming your way,
Thank
Wendy.
You.
Good for
you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Is that it? Rest of your knowledge, Howard? All right. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks the sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first 3 steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At hall meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to celebrate excuse me, the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers. Oops, I'm going to do that in a minute. Okay, hold on here. So with that, we've got to step up. Okay. There she is, all right. Bridget, before you, you see 5 candles. Truth, reality, surrender, acceptance, and knowledge. OA offers each of us a wonderful opportunity to develop and hasten an attitude change known as ego reduction. The use of these disciplines of weighing and measuring, phone calls, reporting to sponsors, and attending meetings all combine to reinforce our growth in OA. Action is the magic word. Until we so humble ourselves through these acts, there is no evidence of our ego reduction or our surrender to anyone or anything outside ourselves. Each candle signifies a step toward arresting the progression of our disease. The first 2 represent truth and reality. Without these 2 qualities, we would not be recovering compulsive eaters.
Bridget, candle of truth. The candle of truth is the keynote of all who strive to stop the advancement of compulsive overeating. It is the unrelenting force that permits no double standard. Its attainment brings the satisfaction of inward peace. We must fearlessly face the truth to avoid the ever-present pitfall of self-deception.
Bridget, congratulations. I have the candle of reality, the 2nd candle. This is the candle of reality, and it is a new light. It opens the door to a new life. It holds the promise of new understanding. It offers a chance for personal renewal. It makes a statement that goes beyond fantasy, and it holds the dream of a better tomorrow. Without the light of reality, we are destined to remain in that sick, shadowy world of past mistakes and unrealistic dreams of false tomorrows.
Okay, Bridget, this is candle number 3. This is the candle of surrender. In OA, surrender is the first and most important act necessary to launching you into the other steps. Without the surrender of your food, your ego, and your will, all else is hopeless. When you surrender, you suspend such negative emotions as disbelief, grandiosity, and you open yourself up to the process of learning who you are and where you fit into the scheme of things. Congratulations, Bridget.
Thank you.
Hi, Bridget. This is the candle of acceptance. Without acceptance, you could not have come this far. Acceptance is seeing things as they really are. Acceptance is understanding that we have spent our lives denouncing everything, and now we must open up our hearts as well as our minds and accept. We must accept the will of God and accept that only He can restore us to sanity. Congrats, Bridget.
Thank you.
Hello, Bridget. This is the candle of knowledge, number 5. And this is the candle of knowledge, and it opens the door wide. We now know that God is on our side. We can see and hear His pronouncements in our lives. We recognize what it is that we may do and what only He can do. We acknowledge that the greatest gift He has given us is knowing ourselves.
Amen.
Bridget. Even the newest of newcomers finds undreamed rewards as she tries to one who is even blinder than he. This is indeed the kind of giving that actually demands nothing. He does not expect another sufferer to pay him or even to love him. And then he discovers that by the divine paradox of this kind of giving, he has found his own reward, whether others have received anything or not. His own character may still be gravely defective, but he somehow knows that God has enabled him to make a mighty gift, and he senses that he stands at the edge of new mysteries, joys, and experiences of which he had never even dreamed. Practically every OA member declares that no satisfaction has been deeper and no joy greater than in a 12-step job well done. To watch the eyes of men and women with wonder as they move from darkness into light, to see their lives quickly filled with new purpose and meaning, to see whole families reassembled, to see the compulsive eater outcast received back into his community in full citizenship, and above all, to watch these people awaken to the presence of a loving God in their lives. These things are the substance of what we receive as we carry the message to the next compulsive overeater. And Bridget, on behalf of this Tuesday night meeting, we'd like to present you with the cactus as a sign of sticking with the stickers, drinking your water, and don't water down the program.
Congratulations! Congratulations. Thank
you. Virtual hugs all around. Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. We don't have an anniversary tonight. If we did, we would, the room would be lit with a candle and a flower to celebrate each year of recovery. Virtual attendees may sign up to celebrate your step-ups or anniversaries via the link on our website. Sure. The leader now qualifies for 10 minutes, and that's me. My name is Peg. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi. I saw you last month. I'm so meeting once a month, and it's a pleasure to be here again. My usual meeting night is Monday night. I'm fortunate enough to live right here in Minneapolis, where there's lots and lots of meetings. For those of in the sponsor line, I came into OA in 1979, and I was in and out. Lots of in, lots of out. Every time I just could not take the dissonance of sitting in a room and knowing that all I was thinking about was what I was going to go eat afterwards. And so I wasn't able to keep my abstinence. And I, at one point, had up to about 4 years of abstinence, and then it all fell apart again, and it fell apart again and again. And then I saw that this OA Hall program had come to town. And I literally ran to the other side of the street when I saw someone working OA Hall walk into the room, because I I was just so afraid they were going to recruit me, and I was all ready to scream, this is a program of attraction, not promotion. But it didn't matter what I was going to say. I just did not want to be recruited in, because I pretty much was convinced that anyone who did this was really crazy. I mean, I was obsessed, but you were crazy. And, you know, I've since come to the understanding that I am obsessed. I am a compulsive eater. And so I can either be obsessed with the food, which causes me nothing but misery or heartache, or I can be obsessed with really having a very careful program by how I weigh and measure my food, by what time I call my sponsor in the morning, by what I do if I have to change my food program, by what time I do my reading and writing assignment, by what time I go, by the fact that I go to a meeting once a week. It may all seem really obsessive. And if I had a choice to not be an obsessive person, a compulsive eater, a compulsive person, then I wouldn't need one end or the other of the spectrum. But that isn't my choice. It's just not mine. Now, I thought it was for a little minute there. So I was in the program for 12 and a half years. I came in at 320 pounds, nearly suicidal, virtually unable to walk up the steps. And pretty sure that I would be able to bring that suicide on, but it was going to take a few more years. And I just, the agony of that was just awful. So I came into these rooms on March 1st of 2004. And I thought, oh, I'm desperate. I'll do whatever they tell me. And at that point, I'm not kidding if my sponsor had said to me, kneel down on the floor, I'm putting a pee down and you're going to push it around with your nose, I would have said, okay, I don't know why it's going to work, but if you tell me to do it, I'll do it. I was that desperate. And if you're new with us or just returning, as much as I hate to wish this for you, there's nothing I wish more than a level of desperation that's severe enough that this is the alternative. And so I got a food plan from my sponsor. I followed it the next morning and the next noon and the next night, and I had 24 hours under my belt, and I never looked back. For 12 and a half years, I kept that back-to-back perfect abstinence. And I lost 160 pounds. That's a lot of weight to lose. I lost 160 pounds. I felt great. I just, despite the fact that I have a lot of little extra skin all over the place, I thought it. Then I remembered that little part. Well, I didn't remember that little part in the beginning of chapter 3 that it says, the great illusion of every compulsive overeater is that somehow, someday, she will control and enjoy her eating. And I fell to that illusion because everything was going so well. And I was so tired of doing this. I had it so down. I mean, who needed to do this anymore? I certainly didn't. I was quite convinced of that. So, but it was a really gradual thing, the loss of my abstinence. I did not go down to the corner bakery. What? 1 minute? Oh my God. Okay. So I didn't go down to the corner bakery and buy a bunch of bakery food. Instead, I just quit doing what I did every day. I quit reading and writing. I quit calling people. Pretty soon I quit weighing and measuring as carefully. And then I quit weighing and measuring at all. I never even picked up the sugar in that over 2+ years. But I lost my abstinence. I lost my happiness. And I'm back today saying, what did I think was so hard about this? I mean, really, what was I thinking? And the truth was that I quit thinking because I quit reading and writing. So when I look back at the tools, yeah, this one's really critical, but nothing's more important than staying spiritually fit. And that's the choice I make today. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Dave. All right. And now we welcome our speaker for this evening, who is Leslie. All right, Leslie.
Hi. Hi, Leslie. I hope you all can see me and hear me okay. Howard, thank you so much for helping set this up. This is just an amazing meeting, and everything, all of the magic magical, amazing things that go on in the background to make this happen. It's pretty great to be able to see faces, and because there are no HOW meetings where I live. And so I really just appreciate that. I'm going to start my timer. Okay. So, hey, everybody, I'm Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. To me, recovered does not mean cured. Just wanted to qualify that. It is a daily reprieve that I receive from my higher power that is contingent upon the maintenance of these steps and working these steps. So Howard, I sent a picture to Howard today, or to the Minnesota Live guys, about my former self, which is, sorry, I'm a little distracted. It's weird seeing my face while I'm talking. It's freaking me out. Okay, so you're seeing a picture of me before and after. That was me at 205 plus pounds. I really don't know. I stopped weighing myself after a while because I didn't want to know how big I was. That was in 2010. Actually, when that picture was taken of me sitting there, I was at a friend's baby shower. And that was the date of my last full-on, like, all-out binge. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. As soon as everybody left, the cake was calling. And I just devoured it like a wild animal. And funny enough, I had already entered into program. I was there about 3 months before that happened. But you know, one thing's for sure, whether you start in regular OA or you start in HOW, once you hear the truth about your disease, it spoils your binges. It's not so fun anymore, I discovered. You know, I've been working this program, the HOW program, now for a little over 2 years. I wanted to show these pictures because my life has changed so much since my journey in OA. And, you know, I'm actually really grateful to have had my start in Overeaters Anonymous and not HOW. And the reason I say that is because without that struggle that I had for all those years in HOW, then I would have never known that I really truly was ready for a different way. You know, I really couldn't tell you or describe to you the fear and panic. Actually, I don't need to tell you and describe it to you. You guys know what it's like to be in this disease. And Bridget, oh my gosh, when I saw your face, I just started to just tears, because I remember the pain and I remember the relief that I found and how special it was for me to step up as a sponsor in this program. So what it was like for me in the beginning was, I don't really know or remember having moments of compulsively overeating as a child. I grew up in a small southern town in South Georgia. I grew up around other compulsive eaters, but I just didn't know it. You know, it was very normal to me. And my grandmother was, my aunt was, I don't know if my mother is or not, but, and it doesn't matter, you know, but really, truthfully, I guess for me, I didn't notice, let's just say that I didn't really notice the
effects or the consequences of my compulsive overeating until I hit 30. I'm 40 and I'm about to be 41 in 2 days. So I've been on this journey for a decade now, but when I turned 30, it actually, what happened to me reminds me of a story that I read in the Big Book called The Housewife Who Drank at Home. And in this story, she says, "I was never a very heavy social drinker, but during a period of particular stress and strain about 13 years ago, I resorted to using alcohol in my home as a means of temporary release and getting extra sleep." So that's what happened to me. I remember I had the birth of my first child, and I had a really difficult labor and delivery. And I remember they brought me peanut butter and crackers. I hope I can mention specific foods in this meeting. They brought that to me, and I can remember asking for more and more and more and more. And I resorted to the food as a way to get release from the pain, not only the physical pain, but the emotional pain of what I was feeling, not knowing how to deal with all of that, being a new mom and, all the responsibilities that came along with that, that I just didn't know how to handle. I've always been a pretty driven, ambitious person. And, up until that point in life, I thought I had it handled pretty well. And there's, you know, something very raw and vulnerable about, that period of time in my life. And all I can tell you is that it's like the food and the disease of compulsive overeating developed a life of its own. And it had me quickly. Pretty quickly it was, you know, for me, I couldn't get through the night without eating. I had to eat in order to get to sleep, and I had to eat in order to stay asleep. I grazed all day long. You know, I knew I had a problem with food. And I can remember, you know, walking into my first Overeaters Anonymous meeting and thinking, just tell me how to fix this so I can get on with the rest of my life, because I don't want to be in here. I don't want to be in here. I'm not like, you know, I didn't have, because of the fact that I didn't have over 100 pounds to lose, you know, it was an easy excuse to identify out at first. Cause I thought, well, I just need the diet, right? I just need to fix this somehow. Let me fix this. And I didn't understand, and I didn't accept the fact that what they were telling me, that I could have a disease, that food was like alcohol. Well, everybody knows that alcoholism is a disease, but food, what kind of BS are y'all handing me here, is what I thought, really. I couldn't see the connection. And because it's not socially, I mean, people really don't accept this, in my view, as a real legit thing. I mean, it's very difficult to explain to people, as I'm sure most of us know. And there is no explaining it unless you've been through it. And I really struggled in I spent every week going to face-to-face meetings, every single week. Going to face-to-face meetings and not getting anywhere. I didn't work through the steps. It took me 5 years and I still didn't work through all the steps. And then I found a Big Book meeting in 2016 that literally, without that meeting, I would have never heard of Hal. It was the women in those meetings who told me about it. And thank God, because in 2016, early 2017, I started to have some real resentments take over. And I was as abstinent as I knew how to be. I had, by 2016, late 2016, early 2017, I had worked through the steps. I was sponsoring. I was abstinent. So I thought, you know. But I started to have a lot of resentments come into my soul that I couldn't shake. And those pictures that were shown earlier, one of them was with next to my sister, and I couldn't even stand to be near her. I was at the point where I couldn't stand to be in the same room with my sister, and I couldn't stand to be in the same room with my mother. And when I came in, before I came in, I literally had enough of a connection to my higher power that he whispered to me, you're going to lose what you have. It's not secure. As soon as the wind blows, you're going to hit the ground. And that was always my pattern, you know, as long as things were going okay, I could stay abstinent. I mean, I was actually was abstinent in my second pregnancy. There was a picture there of my baby pregnant. And it was a beautiful time for me. But I was white knuckling it. I mean, I truly was. I just didn't realize it. You don't know what you don't have until, that made sense in my head, but it didn't make sense coming out. You know, you don't know really what you're missing until you get it. And for me, Hal was the missing piece of the puzzle. And so God told me to go to Hal, literally. I heard that message and I said, okay, God, if you want me to go Hal, you're going to have to bring me the right sponsor. I gave God all my qualifications, and lo and behold, he met them. And I remember a fellow telling me, well, so-and-so, and I started to inquire about Hal, and so-and-so has an opening. And I said, okay, well, I didn't think much more about it until my first Hal meeting that I was on. This particular person was the speaker and announced that she had an availability. Met all my qualifications. I would not suggest giving God qualifications for sponsors, by the way. But I just knew that he was telling me that this was the right thing for me to do. And I came in day one, I hit the ground running, and I haven't looked back since. I have had many trials in these last 2 years. Hospitalizations, 3 different moves, my husband's job being in jeopardy, you name it. I don't know. Like, it's just life, right? Like, we all deal with life in one way or another. But I can say the thing that I'm most proud of today is the fact that I can be depended on. I was such an inconsistent person before. I was such an undependable person, and I was a highly emotional, unstable person. And it's going to take time. It's going to take time for my husband to trust me again. It takes time. Like it says in the big book, a long period of reconstruction is ahead. But thank you, God, my kids have never seen me hold up in a room stuffing my face with cookies. You know, I'm just really thankful that I found this program when I did, so that I didn't have to be 65 years old without a husband because my marriage was gone. I mean, my marriage was going. I mean, I'm telling you, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, he was ready to walk out. My aunt was 65 years old. She stroked out on the floor, compulsive overeater, type 2 diabetic. I don't have to get there. You know, I don't have that doesn't have to be my fate. And I'm so glad that I have this opportunity at a second chance in life. We all have a second chance at life, no matter where we are in our journey. And I plan on not letting that go to waste. I want to take advantage of that time that God has given me back. I feel like I've been given my life back. I'm doing things that I stopped doing a long time ago. I had music in my soul and I used to sing all the time, and the disease just stripped it out of me. I didn't have a song. I didn't have anything. I was dead inside. That's worse than actual physical death to me. Just walking around like a zombie, which is what I was, you know. But now I can sing again. There are so many, my marriage is good. It's not perfect, but it's really good. And he enjoys being with me. My kids, they love me. They want to spend time with me. They kiss me. They smother me sometimes. But I'm so grateful. I'm just so thankful that I was asked to do this tonight, because it was good for me. And I hope that it's been helpful to somebody out there struggling. And I think my time's up. So that.
Thanks, Kelly. Thanks, Leslie. Unfortunately, we do not have time to open the floor for 3-minute pitches tonight. Our time is up. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Leslie, who gave so much of herself. May we please have a reading of Just For Today.
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sheila, welcome.
Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problems at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said: most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in 3 ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least 2 things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from 2 pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me.
Thanks, Sheila. For those of us joining us in person, I would like to ask your help in putting away the equipment and bringing this room back to its original setup after we've concluded our closing prayer. Thanks for your help with this. We'd also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here, as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion and time and give you contentment in all areas of your life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in saying the Serenity Prayer? Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering. I like this way, that's right. God, grant me
the serenity
to accept
the things I cannot change,
the courage to change
the things I can,
and the
wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will be done.
Coming back,
it works if you work it.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Mario went over, Howard. Have a great night, everybody. Bye. Night.
I have a family. Good for you. I'm sorry to do that. Yeah. It's a really important place to be.
Yeah.
My mom, when she died, it was awful to be there, but I wanted to be there. You know, I just, all our loved ones.